Our study tonight is out of 3 John verses 9 through 14, correcting the abuses of biblical inclusivism in the local church. The effort to protect the local church from error through applying the 2 John 9 and 10 call to separate from apostates has at times extended much too far, resulting in errant, unedifying division in the family of God. That's very true in a number of conservative Christian circles. Often you'll have needless division, sometimes between churches that have the identical same statement of faith, but there's just a lot of times there's personalities and so forth, and so people won't even be on speaking terms with one another, and it's just really tragic. Well, after describing the correct bounds of inclusivism for the local church's fellowship in 3 John verses 1 through 8, John addresses abuses of this boundary of inclusivism in 3 John verses 9 through 14 in a passage that is extremely relevant for us today. In fact, I dare say what we're covering in verses 9 through 14 tonight, I have seen in decades of ministry, I've seen played out over and over again in even allegedly sound churches. And so it's something that's really applicable. Begin at verse 9. We'll read the verses and then we'll look at it. 3 John verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids them that would, and casts them or excommunicates them from the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that practices good is of God, but he that practices evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yes, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you, but I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. Okay. This little epistle was written around 90 AD, probably shortly before John was taken out and banished to the island of Patmos, and he wrote the Revelation that's out there. So John would have been a very elderly man at this point in life. But anyway, John addressed the abuses of inclusivism in the local church that were performed by Diotrephes. Diotrephes desired to have the preeminence. The Greek word is philopratuo, which means to love to have the chief place or to be first in the local church. This desire was sin, one that is countered by scripture passages such as Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. In Philippians 2, 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves." Boy, that's so needed in many churches today. There seems to be a tendency to fight to be the top dog or the king of the mountain rather than preferring other people ahead of ourselves. And so this is something that constantly needs to be taught in the church. Humility is a virtue. God wants us to prefer others, to put others ahead of ourselves, because that has a tendency to produce unity in the church and edification. To feed his lust for preeminence, Diotrephes did not allow rival leadership, so he rejected even the apostles like John from visiting the local church. Notice the second part in verse 9, who loves to have the preeminence among them, he does not receive us. Now the apostles were the leaders of the church of Jesus Christ. The apostles had authority over all the pastors, all the apostles, all the prophets, all the teachers in the church. They actually had life and death authority over all other believers. That's the type of authority that Jesus had vested in these men. And the church needed these men as real foundation men to get the church going to start it. But this man, Diotrephes, felt threatened by them because he had kind of a control over the church. So he wouldn't let even the apostles come. This would be kind of like me feeling threatened by, for example, the return of Pastor Kate, Dr. Kate. Dr. Kate actually was the one who founded the church here, got the church going, got the gospel going. For me not to allow him even to come to Nepog Church because I would feel threatened that somehow his presence would usurp mine, kind of a thing. That's what Diotrephes was struggling with. And that's the last thing that God wants us to do. So John claimed that when he came, he would hold Diotrephes accountable for his words against the apostles since he chattered. The Greek word is phulareo, so this is useless chattering. And he chattered evil, malicious words against them. He was saying things that would undermine the apostles and demean them in front of the church so that he could hold the people, hold himself up in the eyes of the people instead of the apostles. I've seen this type of thing happen in churches, and it's just tragic. Sometimes the worst at this are pastors. Well, not only that, but Diotrephes also refused to let traveling evangelists and teachers or missionaries enter and speak into the local church as they became a threat to his preeminence in his estimation. Last part of verse 10, wherefore, for come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, neither does he himself receive the brethren. And these would be traveling itinerant brethren who were going from church to church. So he refused to receive even the missionaries that came. And not even content with that, self-exalting, controlling Diotrephes forbade others in the church from receiving these missionaries, and he banished them or excommunicated those who did. The last part of verse 10, he forbids them that would, and he casts them or excommunicates them out of the church. This is amazing. So if you had a traveling evangelist or missionary that came through and you happened to house them, and Diotrephes found out about this, you're kicked out of the church. So this is a classic situation where this man, much like a cultic leader, wanted to control, have a mind control over all the people in this little enclave of the church. So he didn't want anybody else to come into that. He wanted to be the center of attention, and he wanted to have absolute control over everybody that's there. This is something that we try hard in the body. We teach against this. The board and I work in regards to this. We are constantly working, seeking to have an attitude of humility and openness in regards to allowing every person in the church to be himself or herself and to blossom. And the role of leaders that we seek to present in the church is one of exampling, not dominating, and leading by the overwhelming power of an example, a good example rather than anything else, so that allows people to be free in the Lord and sense their liberty in the Lord. This controlling mentality is something that is actually seen as evil. In fact, John admonished his reader Gaius against such abuses in favor of uprightness. In verse 11, he said, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." And in the context, the evil is what Diotrephes was practicing. So John urged Gaius not to imitate what is evil in Diotrephes' life and actions, but what is good. Versus wanting the preeminence so as to reject other leaders, a sin that leads to verbal abuse and controlling rejection of others, Gaius was to be humble, accepting other godly people in the body. After all, any who did what was good and humbly accepting others who biblically qualified to be a part of the body was from God. But any who acted like Diotrephes did not fellowship with God, as he was spiritually blind relative to the things of God. That's why John said in the last part of verse 11, he that does good is of God, he that does evil has not seen God. He doesn't behold God, he's blind to God. Doesn't mean that he doesn't know the Lord, but he's certainly not fellowshipping with the Lord. Well, thankfully we have a positive illustration in Demetrius. John addressed the correct inclusivism in the church regarding Demetrius. Opposite his critique of evil Diotrephes, John praised the godly Demetrius in verse 12. All of the believers in the local church spoke well of Demetrius. It's interesting, verse 12, Demetrius has a good report of all men. Now, this tells us something. This means that he was not seeking to control other people, and he was not limiting other people or trying to boss other people as to who they should have as their friends and who they shouldn't, or who they should allow in the church. When a person is well spoken of by all other brethren in the church, he's relating well to them, and he's treating them with kindness. He's allowing them to be themselves. He's demonstrating Christian liberty in the Lord, and that's what this man was doing. None of these people had been wrongfully maligned or pushed away from the local church by this man Demetrius, since he had no evil lust to be preeminent in the local church like Diotrephes did. Only when a person is not controlling will all people speak well of him. If a person is a controlling person, it's going to rub, and it's going to have a problem. This man wasn't controlling Demetrius. He was kind. He was humble. He allowed people to be themselves. He was there to be a support to everybody else, and that's why people loved him. Now, the truth of God's word itself testified to his uprightness, according to verse 12, and of the truth itself. He has a good report of the truth itself. So there was nothing in God's word that would testify that would counter him. So Demetrius was not arrogant. Not arrogant, not proud, but supportive of other gifted, prominent believers in the local church. I probably should have put the "but" after the word "proud." Not arrogant or proud, but supportive of other. I'll have to correct that when I get into the get back into the computer. And he was supportive of other gifted, prominent believers in the local church. That's what a godly believer is supposed to do. He's supposed to come along and be nurturing to others. If there's someone else who's outstanding or has a wonderful gift, we should favor that person and extol them and give them plenty of room because the church needs them. Christ's apostles also testified of Demetrius' uprightness along with the testimony of Scripture. So their spiritually mature oversight saw in him the true quality of true selflessness. The last part of verse 12 says, "And also we bear record as apostles, and you know that our record is true." So Demetrius had a good report of all men. He had a good truth report of the truth itself. And the apostles themselves bore good, as they had a tremendous testimony. Well, John then closed his epistle in verses 13 and 14, claiming that he wanted to say much more in person when he met Gaius, and he ended with a greeting until such a productive meeting would occur. I think it's interesting that John very carefully, he was writing some pretty negative information here about Diotrephes, and he knew that someone else could get a hold of this letter, so he wanted to get this information out, but he didn't want to share any more negative information by written word than he had to, because it could have been read by someone else. So he wanted to wait until he got there, and then he could talk to Gaius face-to-face, and then he could go into greater depth. This tells us that the apostles, much like we do, when they get together, when they got together with Christians in private, they opened up and went into a lot more depth than you would just through a letter that, you know, could become public knowledge and others could read. So we need to do the same thing. So, where Diotrephes sinfully lusted for the preeminence in the local church and wickedly countered and maligned all who threatened his agenda to be exalted there, including the apostles, traveling evangelists, and missionaries, even to become controlling by banishing believers in the local body who accepted those he opposed, Demetrius correctly remained humble, having no desire for preeminence, but was edifying to all local believers, being testified as upright by Scripture and the apostles. So Gaius was to follow Demetrius' good example instead of Diotrephes' evil one. So may we follow the godly example of Demetrius instead of Diotrephes' ungodly one, being careful to avoid the lust of self-exaltation in favor of humbly serving the God of the local church. Years ago, when my parents were in Dallas, Texas, they attended Reinhardt Bible Church, and the president of Dallas Seminary, Dr. John Walford, chose to attend that church when he retired. And he would go into the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, just like everybody else. Here he was, and this could be a very imposing and threatening figure, as a man who's written many books. He's traveled around the world giving lectures and teaching and so forth, but he would sit in the Sunday school class there, and a local teacher there, one of the men in the church, an elder, could have been a seminary student, would be teaching the class. But one thing Dr. Walvert always did, my parents noticed, he never critiqued the teacher in front of others, even if he knew a lot more and so forth. Whenever an issue came up, he always publicly supported the teacher, because he realized who he knew how other people viewed him, and he knew he had a tremendous amount of influence. And his goal in his mind was to edify. He was there to fellowship with God's people, but wherever he could, he used his enormous weight to build up. And he humbly submitted to listen. He would sit in the class and listen to the teacher teach, and accepted what the teacher taught, and he supported him wherever he possibly could. At one time, one of the people in the class asked Dr. Walford about some things that were going on at the seminary at the time. And they had some questions as to its rightness or wrongness. And Dr. Walford answered very wisely. He said, "I'm responsible for the years when I was there as president, but I'm no longer the president. I'm not responsible, so I can't answer that. You'll have to talk to the leaders who are there." Very wise. And he avoided conflict. He avoided feedback that would be a problem to the leaders who were there. And they were walking into very large footsteps from a man of God who'd been set up by Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder of the seminary. But he was there to build up. This is the attitude that God wants us to have. He wants us to do what we can to nurture and to help the group that is around us, the people that are around us. So may we have the wisdom of God to follow the example of a Dr. Walford and follow the example of a Demetrius here, rather than the example of a Diotrephes.